My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Just as I turn on the recorder, the wind begins to blow. And I just happen to notice that the batteries are about dead in this damn thing. Yeah. Just kind of sad. I'm out here at a place in Midtown Park called Overton Park, Midtown Memphis. A bunch of kids outside playing soccer. There's some folks in various places underneath the trees in the shade. It's a lovely sunny afternoon. And it was weird. I felt like I was kind of losing my mind a little bit walking across this lovely field here looking for a secluded spot to sit down and record this. And it's odd because here I am sitting here talking to some 20,000 of you. And yet I wanted to find a quiet place away from everybody else where I could record this in some type of peace. Yeah, well, you know, that's... It seems kind of odd, but I guess that's just sort of I am. But you know, when I'm in a facility where we're recording this in front of an audience, I'm expected to put it on. I don't have a problem with that. That's easy. You know, I can certainly do that. So, at any rate, I sit down here and I notice that the batteries are about done in this little Zoom H2, and of course I didn't bring any with me because I just didn't think about that kind of thing. So I'm going to kind of go and. Hopefully this thing will continue to record for as long as I need it to. And if it cuts off, it cuts off. That's kind of how I'm going to go with this. Yeah. If it goes, then you'll know what happened. The batteries died, and that is that. It was a fine evening a couple of weeks ago. A bunch of us from the radio station went over to Murphy's, a Midtown bar, and had a large time there with a Spicer Fest. It was a little fundraiser for Janelle Spicer, who is a victim of multiple sclerosis, a form of it, and they have a fundraiser every year. They've been doing it now for about 3 years, and it was a great time. Had a wonderful time. There were like 12, 13 bands that played. There was a stage outdoors, and there was a stage inside, and just a big time had by all. And no one had a larger time than our own brother Doug, who somehow managed to get completely shit faced. And I've known him for years, and I have never seen that man as fucked up as he was that night. Well, he gave us YouTube gold. Brother Doug gets down to various bands, and he was having a time. He was dancing. He was doing it the way, like the way Elvis would dance, you know, with the karate moves and the kind of the hippie flailing of the arms and stuff. Oh, it was huge. Just an absolute blast with that. And so we videotaped it, and it should be on YouTube by now, hopefully, by the time this podcast is up and running. But that's, like I said, absolute comedy gold. And yeah, I'm sticking an ad in front of that just in case everybody wants to really hit that thing hard, because it has the potential to be somewhat viral. Just watching a drunk man dance is, well, first of all, a drunk white guy dancing. You know, first of all, white people shouldn't be dancing unless you're gay and are really good at it, or gay and or really are good at it, however you want to phrase that. It's just, you know, there's just certain things that people don't do, and dancing in public like that is certainly one of them. And, you know, if you're properly trained, of course, that's not to preclude whether you're gay or not. It doesn't make any difference, quite frankly. Which brings me to an interesting point about how we are so now adept in our society that we seem to be looking for reasons to be offended by something. I don't understand why that would be, but it just, you know, everywhere we turn, somebody is getting offended about one thing or another, and they're looking for a reason to be upset. And, you know, that little crack about, you know, being white and gay and being able to dance, you know, I'm sure somebody will more than likely be pissed off about that. And that's just it. I make no apologies for this sort of thing. I never have. I mean, that's just it. I say what I say. I own up to it. And that is the fact. There's no reason for anybody to be offended by that remark, in my estimation, you know. It's just that's the way things are, and here we are in Memphis, which you would think is a fairly progressive city, and I know we're trying, but it just seems we're sort of hung up on racism in this town too, and I've never understood that. You know, I'd like to think we've come a long way over the years to get ourselves away from that nonsense. To be lumped into that bigoted category of, you know, white people in the South are more comfortable wearing robes. I've never understood that whole thing, and I'm not offended by those remarks at all. And certainly, you know, I have several people, as the old joke goes, who happens to be black. It's no big deal, you know. If you're black, you're black. That's the way it goes. And I think sometimes there are those who look upon people that are on the teetering on the edge of saying something somewhat offensive, like I'm doing right now, because I know there might be somebody listening that's going, go up, yep, here we go. You're treading in, sacred territory here. You can't talk like this. You can't mention these things. Just because a person is skin color is different than yours, you can't talk. You can't discuss that. That's bullshit. Of course you can discuss it. You know, I'm not saying anything that is patently offensive. If I've called somebody a bad word, if I've said something that is mean-spirited and intentionally derogatory, then, you know, that's something else. But that is certainly not my intention. It's just something I think that, you know, people would rather talk or not talk about, but avoid, just to avoid having to deal with the potential ramifications of upsetting somebody just by merely having a simple conversation about it. Not that there's much of a conversation, as it is just me just kind of sitting here rambling underneath a tree in a lovely park. In fact, where I sit right now, there's a lovely black couple that are also sharing a moment in the shade. Just about 50, 60 yards from me down there, there's a little further away, about 75, maybe 100 yards away, there's a lovely white woman that is laying in the sun, and she's reading. And you know, we can live together, and that's just it. I think if people would just kind of set this stuff aside and let it go. I laugh at our city council. The Memphis City Council has tendencies to be somewhat racist from time to time, and it's on both sides. It's black and white. And It's like, you know, hey, can we all just put this aside for just a little while and continue on? Instead of it, you know, everything has to be about the color of one's skin, it seems. And it's just, it's stupid. It's 2014. Let's move along, shall we? You know, yeah, we live in Memphis. And yeah, Martin Luther King was killed by a white guy in this town in April of what, 1964, I think it was. And it was a bad scene. You know, I wasn't here at the time, obviously, and I've talked to several who were, and there was big fear that there was going to be a lot of retaliatory action as a result of that. And I can see that, and I understand that, and I don't agree with it either way, but it's like I said, it's 2014. A long time has passed. I think we can set aside these things and move on to other more concerns, for God's sake. You know, where the world is, it seems like it's constantly teetering on the point of some type of disaster. You know, you've got these religious zealots out there in other parts of the world that want to kill you because you don't worship their God the way they want you to worship their God. It's often been said that war was fought for one of two reasons, if not both, one of which is money, the other is of religion. And I'd like to think we've, you know, could progress beyond that, but that's obviously not the case. Earlier I saw there were some really rather horrific pictures that were coming out of Iraq, who's undergoing a civil war right now, of these mass murders that are going on there. There are people that are lining up other people and putting bullets in their heads. Very reminiscent of what it was back in the 40s, you know, during the Second World War when the Nazis were killing all the Jews. And it's just a horribly tragic scene. And, you know, I hate to see that. And yet there's more worry about that, or more worry about what's going on in our own community with, you know, people that are worried about skin color as opposed to the fact that there is a group of people out there that want you dead. Plain and simple. There is somebody out there in this world that wants you dead. It's kind of a sad thought, and it's a bit scary, but that's just the way it is. They want you dead because you're an American. There are those of you I do know. There are those of you that are tuned into this podcast from all around the world, from various places. I know England. There's several listeners there, and in France. Thank you once again, by the way, for being a part of it. And I think you're not immune to this either. I think there are people out there that want you dead as well. I don't mean to be grim or morose here, but it's just a simple fact of the matter that people out there exist solely to be troublesome for everybody else. There's always going to be that person who says, you don't believe what I believe, I don't believe what you believe, and I think flat out I should put a bullet in your head because of that. Personally, I don't believe in any type of God that would require somebody to be as murderous for the sake of their religion. I don't understand that. I never have. And that was, when the whole 9/11 thing happened that horrible day. And it boggled my mind that somebody with different religious beliefs than us and didn't like us because of that had hijacked some planes and crashed them into buildings. And as a result, they were making the statement that, what we are doing is wrong just by our own existence. And it's, I never understood that in the name of what God that would be correct and assumable. Certainly not the way I would choose to live my life, And yet that's what's out there and that exists. And it's scary because, where do you go? What do you do? How do you control that? And it's like the political discussions that I see that crop up on Facebook and in social media, and one party attacking another party, and it's the same thing because they believe in this, therefore they're wrong, and they believe in that, and therefore you're a duty head. It's so childish. It is so ridiculous. I've mentioned it before that anybody who thinks that a president of the United States, no matter who he is or what or she, as the case could be, what party they work for, it makes no difference. It makes no difference. They're all playing for their own team, and we're just kind of along for the ride. I'm not going to go off on a politic thing before. I've already done it before. If you want to look that up, there's a previous podcast about politics and religion, and I certainly didn't mean to get into that, but I don't know why that happened out here sitting in the midst of a beautiful park on a nice sunny day like today. That sort of discussion cropped into my head. It's not like I came in to get into all that. I mean, people get offended by various things, and I'm not out to offend anybody, but I know it happened, so I make no apologies. Take me as I am or go somewhere else. You're not hurting my feelings any. And that's just it. We're all out to have a good time and try and be as entertaining and as fun as we possibly can. And that's, that's all you can do. That is all you can do. And if you can, try and be kind and cool to other people, then that's a good thing too. So that's pretty much all I'll say about that. Just the other day, we sat down and got involved in a project I want to tell you a little bit about. And this will be the only place you'll hear about it, because I doubt I'll even mention much of this on the air. It may come up in passing, but there was a really, really cool thing that occurred the other Friday night, where a group of us here from the radio station, from Radio Memphis, and we've been working for a long time on this, by the way. We got hooked up with our friends at American Studios, American Recording Studios. There's a lot of history with that. That was originally known as American East when Chips Moman had it, and it would be the place where they did a lot of overdubs there. Elvis's music was overdubbed in there, where they had to go in and lay in strings and horns and backup stuff like that. It was usually done in there. There was a lot of mixing that was going on, a lot of mastering that was happening in that room. And at some point when Chips left that whole facility and sold it, it was Easley McCain had it for a long time. A lot of history there in that. It was... It's located at Lamar and Dedrick in the Orange Mound area, right there near the crossroads of America at Lamar and Airways. Pardon. And the history in there was just fantastic. After Easley McCain had it, it went on to Onyx, and at some point there was a fire in the building, and the control room burned. And they got away from it, and the Dunn family got a hold of it. Now, the Dunn family, you'll know Duck Dunn as being Donald Dunn, the bass player for the Blues Brothers. his family got a hold of it. Duck's nephew, Brad, is the guy who runs it right now, and they're doing a fine job with it, and they're recording some tremendous stuff. Heard some great music that's been done in there, but we got involved with them. They fell in love with Radio Memphis. We fell in love with American Studios, and it was just a big old love fest, and they offered up to us the facility to record some video in there. And this is what was cool, because we've had the concept in place for a long time, but and I'm not going to release all of it here, because I do want to keep a bit of mystery to it. But in essence, part of what we are shooting in there involves the performance of a band that is in that studio. So you're getting top quality audio out of the whole thing and having a really good time enjoying listening and watching a band perform in that room. And what we did is we turned it into kind of a variety television show, and there is going to be some variety to it. And this is where I'm going to have to kind of beg off a little bit, because we don't have it all produced as of yet, but we are working on that now. And the plan is to get this out to mass consumption, out into TV land. It does present its own quandaries, because as I have learned, television right now is really undergoing this kind of a strange metamorphosis. They are doing a fairly good job of moving a lot of their content online, and stations, networks, and such. They are utilizing apps for mobile consumption. That's a good thing. And they are they're trying to keep in touch with this ever mobile society that we have carved out for ourselves. And as of note, the problem that television is still trying to overcome is the simple fact that people that are the ages of, say, 18 to 24 years of age, they're not watching TV. That's a pretty alarming statistic if you think about it, but it's very true. They're just not watching television. And as a result, how do you capture that? How do you get these people? And, you know, they're all, you know, online, they're all, you know, hitting the apps, and that's where you get your audience now. And as a result, television is trying to figure out a way to keep its relevancy. And when that sort of thing happens, we try and get involved with this. And yeah, you know, there was this, well, why don't we just put the show online like we do everything else? And why are we going that? Why not we going that route? You know, we've been so against, not really against, but we have been arguing the whole what do you call it? The ultra, you know, terrestrial FM stuff. And when that happens, you know, we look at television, we go, well, let's just go ahead and go there, even though it's traditional, it's been around a long time. And the fact of the matter is there's still an audience there on television. There are still folks that do watch television. There are those who have gotten comfortable using their DVR systems and that kind of thing by taping what they want to watch for later consumption and finding different on-demand services. So television is trying to make its comeback, but the trick is finding the audience for it. And by I'm a little gassy. Exposing Radio Memphis to a new audience has always been a goal of ours, and that's what we've been trying to accomplish. And we feel that we're doing that to a certain degree through our social media contacts and stuff. But even then, it's just not reliable. You know, Facebook. I know it seems like I bitch about Facebook a lot, because there's a lot to bitch about, for God's sake. You know, if you've got 10,000 likes that are legitimate, not the ones that you buy. I mean, a lot of people go out there and they buy their likes. But it's not cool, you know? You get your legitimate likes. Now, on the surface, Facebook is like, well, okay, let's just say, for argument's sake, you have 10,000 people who like your page. And you want to send a message to those 10,000 people. You can't. Unless they actively come to your page to see what you had written, but they won't know about that unless it showed up in their news feed, or Facebook throttles you back. If you've got those 10,000 people who like your page, there's only going to be about maybe 100 or so of those people that will see your post, unless they start sharing it, and then it starts moving around, and there's strange different algorithms in place that make that sort of thing, you know, a deal. And I can't stand it. I hate the way we have got ourselves hooked into this this phenomena of social media that way, because we do seem to be getting bit in the butt by all of this, and it's a horrible thing. Now, you know, I'm all for it. If Facebook needs to make money, I understand. That's how it works. Zuckerberg's got bills to pay. He's got housekeepers. He's got to, you know, make sure he's maintained. Whatever. More power to him. I mean, he's figured out a pretty cool deal. Now, if it comes down to a matter of just, you know, this whole advertising nonsense, then advertise. Accept advertisements. Sell advertisement. Do what you have to do and make your money that way. But, you know, the whole premise of, well, not everybody's going to see your posts unless you have a enough money to give them to expose your message to all of these people. That just seems like sort of like pulling the rug out from under you, you know, in a roundabout way. I mean, I get it. I understand. Like I said, it is certainly about advertisements, about money, and that's where that is. And that's, of course, why I like Twitter. Now, Twitter, I don't have nearly as many followers there as I do on Facebook. And that's just for obvious reasons. A lot of people don't understand Twitter. But Twitter, for me, is kind of fun because it allows me to crack a joke, have some fun with it, and be silly under 140 characters, I think, is all you get. And then you move along with it. And sometimes a lot of people will see it. Sometimes they don't. And it's funny because with Twitter, it seems like when I post something up there, it winds up going into places I never knew individuals who would see it. So it seems to be running off of a different algorithmic deal, and it's almost as if more people see it than I have likes or followers on Twitter. So, you know, that is certainly a interesting concept that exists. But that, there again, that's why I dig it. That's why I like it. It's fun to be a part of it in that angle. But, you know, getting back to what we were talking about with television, this television show that we've put together, or that we are working on right now, it's been a long time coming. We've been playing with this concept now for about two and a half years, and this is really our third attempt at a show. And I say attempt because the other two failed miserably. The first one, believe it or not, was a reality show that I'm even embarrassed just to talk about. Oh, my God, it was a gigantic turd on the screen. It was horrible. It was horribly shot, horribly edited, horribly produced, horribly done, horribly acted, horribly lost focus of what we were trying to do at the time. Other people had gotten involved in something that was ultimately, you know, my idea, along with a collaboration of a couple of other folks. And we thought we were all on the same page. But, no, there were other people that took into it. And it was like, God damn, you know, why can't we do what I'm asking to have happen. And they go, well, no, Rick, because your idea is wrong and ours is better. So I take the final edit, very long story short, took it out to Los Angeles. I actually had meetings in Los Angeles with people who were interested in seeing this. And saw it on their screen, and it really occurred to me just how big of a turd it was. And it was just, it was brutal. Absolutely brutal. It was embarrassing. I wanted to just crawl out of that room on my hands and knees and just go find a garbage can to crawl into out there and just be done with it. Which, by the way, the garbage cans in Los Angeles are far cleaner than the ones in Memphis. Just a little note of observation. Oh, and there are people who live in trees there. Literally, they live in trees in Los Angeles. Saw their mattresses stuck up in the limbs of trees in downtown LA. It's really kind of trippy. Anyway, so that happened, or didn't, as the case may be. The gigantic suck fest that was that television show at the time. And, you know, they were trying to be polite to us about it when we were there and we were showing it to these people, but you could tell it was right out of the bat. It was like, what the hell is this? What the, these hacks don't know what's going on. And so, at any rate, we come back, we hit back to the drawing board and get involved in a different angle, and we find a nice vibe, a show that was really kind of what I really wanted to do, and got a little closer with it, actually, and we shot this thing, and it got a little buzz brewing about what we were doing, kind of what we were at, what we were after, who we were involved with, and that really had potential, with the right kind of tweaking, of course, because we got in dirt cheap on the production of that, and it was okay. Like I said, it wasn't fantastic, but it was just sort of what it was. And the idea behind that was going to come from a fully funded corporate angle. Yeah, I know, right? After all of this bitching about corporate, I actually get in bed with them. That was sort of the plan, and kind of thankfully it didn't work out that way. But one company that where the show was going to be hosted, they were interested in perhaps perhaps funding the program. And so we put the numbers together and we put something together about the whole thing and got it to their corporate offices. And as much as they really liked it at first, they ultimately passed on it for a more expensive project that ultimately bit them in the ass and it cost a bunch of people their jobs. How corporate is that? That's just the story of America right there. People that don't have a fucking clue of what they're doing in the world of business and entertainment, and they pass on something that seems to be pretty solid with the right kind of backing, and they go with something that was, and it wasn't even entertainment based, it was just like this stupid rewards program. I'm not going to out the company because I still do business with them, but the whole point was they had this rewards program that ultimately failed, and they had spent millions. I wasn't even looking for barely $1 million to produce this show, and for a year, and they spent something like $5 million over the course of a year for something that just failed miserably, and a lot of people lost their ass over this thing internally on the corporate level. A lot of people lost their jobs, and it was just a bad scene all the way around. And thankfully, that worked out to our advantage, that we didn't have to get involved in that, and that was smooth. So that was actually more of a successful failure, if you will. So that we walked away from that, put us back to square one. We tweaked the show a little bit more, and of course, we got hooked up with the folks over at American Recording Studios here in Memphis, and right out of the chute, we've had a very positive experience, and so far from what we have put together, from what we have shot, looks good, feels good. It may have some serious legs, and we'll hopefully have something up for folks to see here before too terribly long. And it's a lot of work, and it's expensive, and there's just to have your dreams come true is costly. I can tell you that from experience. It is absolutely costly to have your dreams come true. But if you give yourself the ability and the opportunity to try it, that's the important thing. I mean, there are those that once, it starts becoming a thing and people start to see it, they are absolutely going to look at this and they're going to be angry. They will find a way to be offended by what I have done. And it's not because of any political reasons, or it's just they'll be offended by the fact that I'm doing this, and yet they've all wanted to do the same thing but never had the ability to do it, and they'll be upset, they'll be angry, they'll be rending of garments, gnashing of teeth, all of that nonsense. And it's not that I would need support from those individuals at all by any means, but it is sort of amusing that there will be people that will be upset that this has happened, because people want to see those who have some modicum of a bit of success to fail miserably. And that's sad, but that's of course the fact of the matter, and that's the way that goes. But should this become a thing, something that's real and something that is tangible out there, then hopefully we'll have a good time putting it together and doing it for a while, and those of you out there who are tuned into this can tune into that and enjoy the experience on a visual level, and should be a lot of fun. That's at least the plan as we see it, by keeping it into the in the right focus and perspective that it deserves. Having said all of that, it is a long road to make this sort of thing happen. We still have to shoot. Instead of shooting one pilot, we're actually shooting several pilots, and there's a lot that's going into it. And once we get it all together, then we'll have a kind of a better idea of which direction to go with it. But there apparently has been some buzz about it in places outside of Memphis that are interested in seeing what we have to offer. And it, like I said, it may turn into something big. It may turn into another turd. Hopefully, I think we've got the turd part flushed out of it. Pardon the pun. And the rest of it looking like it's going to be a pretty solid deal. So perhaps here in the very near future we'll be able to tell you more about it, and that'll be a good thing. Just one more facet of how we want to increase our visibility and to increase ourselves nationwide. So we'll see, here on this sunny afternoon in Overton Park, having a discussion about these sorts of things that I'm sharing with you that people probably would rather me not talk about. But, hey, tough. That's the way it goes. I've sat under this tree long enough. My butt's getting sort of sore. And it's a magnolia tree, for those of you that are keeping score. And I'm going to kind of take a walk a little bit through the park. as we got a little bit of time left. I know this is, right now we're only sitting at about a half hour of this show. I'm shocked that the batteries have held out. It may just quit. And if it quits, well, it, you know, so be it. I've kind of said what I needed to say at this point, but I'll continue rolling for a bit as I take a little stroll through the big field. Off to my left, which would be east of me, is this little man-made lake that is there. It has a nice little fountain. People are letting their dogs swim in it and like that. And then off to my right, it would be the probably one of the best zoos in the United States of America. The Memphis City Zoo is absolutely, unequivocally, without a doubt, one of the coolest places you could ever go. So if you are outside of Memphis and you want to come here to this our lovely city, make it a point to come to Overton Park and have some fun at the zoo. Here's the thing. A rather funny story, and I don't know if it's true or not, but they claim that the zoo was started when somebody had captured a bear and chained him to a tree and charged an admission to come see the damn bear. I don't know how true that is or not, but it's a thing, apparently. Also out here, there's a cool dog park. You can turn your dogs loose out here. Bike trails. There's a 9-hole golf course, which I find amusing to see people actually riding golf carts around. It's not that big of a golf course, quite frankly. There's a wonderful art museum. There's the Levitt Shell. There's also concerts and shows and performances there every weekend throughout the spring, summer, and early fall. Pretty cool thing that is. And I'm actually walking up toward the War Memorial. And this is, of course, the memorial for all of the Memphians who have given the supreme sacrifice in every conflict, starting from the First World War all the way to the Persian Gulf, Iraq and Afghanistan. It's kind of sad, but it's also very poignant, and it's an important part of what we have here. Very traditionally in this park, in fact, I'm looking at it right now, there's a guy who's standing at an easel, and he's painting. It's kind of cool. You don't really see that all that often, but it's nice that he's doing it. There's a College of Art here. It's kind of neat. The Memphis College of Art, Memphis School of Art, whatever it is. And there's an old growth forest here you can walk through. Of course, the running gag is, like any other city park, an inner city park, you always have that talk of the perverts hanging around the trees. And I guess it's a thing. It does happen. And wow, flying over my head right now is a drone. Somebody has a quadcopter drone out there. I don't know what they're shooting at, but it may be looking at me as I'm talking into this recorder here, which kind of creepy now that I think about it. And I see the guy with the remote control. He's having a time with his drone. Yeah, there are spies everywhere. It's kind of strange. And it's weird because they're so damn cheap. That thing's easily 300 feet in the air. Wouldn't mind having one now that I see it. It's creepy when you feel like you're the one being violated by it, but it also seems like it'd be a hell of a lot of fun to violate somebody else with it, you know what I'm saying? How cool is that? Well, we live in a whole different world now. There's a guy painting old school on an easel, and there's another guy flying a quadcopter drone. Wow. You see all sorts of things in a park like this in this day and age. I can only imagine what the future would hold. Kind of scary, if you ask me. Kind of scary.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland.
We're going to geek out just a bit. And we have good reason, too. Our guest is Dean Zachary.
Well, I did one that was called Batman Day of Judgment, but then I also did a Robin book. I did a Green Lantern book. I did a book called Alpha Centurion, which is in the Superman universe. I did Superboy. I did Johnny Quest for Dark Horse. Let's face it, there's a lot of money to be made now that the films have made comics mainstream.
That's right, yeah.
So, you know, you've got suits up at Warner Brothers, you know, doing market tests to see what's going to sell before they even write the story.
There are a lot of scenes in that Star Trek movie that pay fan service to Star Trek fans. I don't want to see that in the Star Wars movie. I don't need nods.
You don't want to see the winks and nods and the yay.
They're coming in too fast. I don't need to hear it.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
I don't need any touch points to what's happened before. I just want a story. Straightforward. Don't ham it up.
I agree.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
Well, at any rate, that's that. I'm going to head on back. I've got stuff to do. Got to get this thing up and running and get it out for you people to listen to. I hope you were able to enjoy it. Find sometimes these ramblings can be, I don't know, it's like I said, it's kind of cathartic for me, but I never really think about the fact that it might be kind of boring for you, and if that's the case, my apologies. But nevertheless, here's a couple of bits of business that I do want to take care of before I run out. One of which is on the Blogspot page, which is rickcheddar.blogspot.com. There is a link in the upper right-hand corner. It says Patreon. It says become a sponsor of this podcast. What that allows us to do is that if you contribute to our humble little show here, it wouldn't take much, just a couple of bucks here and there per show. Eventually, once we get up enough funds, I'll be able to take the ads down off of the Blogspot page. I will do that. Up until then, we're going to leave them up there. And if we don't get the kind of money that we're looking for, then I'm going to start sticking commercials in this podcast. I've always believed that maintaining on-demand content should be free. And it shouldn't have to cost you anything, and especially the listener who might, find, this is an on-demand thing. Why do I have to suffer through a commercial about stamps, and I don't even go to the post office, or about audiobooks or something like that? Well, sometimes it has to be done just for the sake of being able to cover the cost of producing this show. Nothing is for free. Where it's hosted, I have to pay for that. There's time involved in it, and I want to deliver a good product to you folks. Having a couple of bucks in our pockets makes that a lot easier. So click on Patreon there and take a look at the video that we've laid out for you, and have a listen to what's there, and do what you can if you'd like, and spread it around. And we're not asking for a whole heck of a lot. We've got like some 20,000 subscribers right now, and if every one of y'all gave $1 per episode, $4 a month. Why I'd be able to not have to worry about a lot of things. So it's a lot of money, I know, but look, we're spreading it out over all of these. It's sort of like crowdfunding over a long term. So, you can kind of think of it that way. Like I said, we are nearly the 20,000 subscriber mark. We appreciate all of you who have done so. And if you would, please tell a friend about it. We need to grow these numbers some more. Tell some other folks about what you are listening to and how you get it. We're at a lot of places. We are, of course, on iTunes. You can subscribe to us there. And every time I update this thing, which is usually on Sundays, you will get a new podcast, a fresh copy, if you will, that's downloaded directly to your device. And it costs you absolutely nothing. That's what we want to keep it that way for now. Hopefully for the long term, we'll keep it that way. That would be kind of cool to be free for forever. We're also not on iTunes. We're also can be found at Blueberry, which if you have the Roku system for your television, you can get the Blueberry app for your Roku, and it's free. That's the beautiful thing about it. That's absolutely free, and you can enjoy this on your television. If you're sitting there in your room and looking for something to have on your television, well, you can go that route. It's, of course, audio only. There is no video with this thing. That would make it a different type of podcast, wouldn't it? A video podcast. So, at any rate, check it out through Blueberry. Also on player.fm, and we are at the list has gotten numerous. It's all at Blogspot. Look at our Blogspot. That's the home of the podcast. rickcheddar.blogspot.com. It's hosted through our friends at Podbean. They're also there, but all the notes can be found, if there's ever any, at our Blogspot page, and you're more than welcome to comment on it. Please share it around. Tell your friends about it. Tell your family about it, and hell, get the dog to listen to, because it's always a lot of fun, and I really enjoy doing it. I want to keep doing it for you, too. So there you go, and there's a look at that. Okay, the battery is barking at me. It looks like I may wind up getting cut off here, so I'm going to get it cut off for you, hopefully. Yeah, it's telling me low battery, it's starting to flash at me here. So, at any rate, thank you once again for being a part of the old podcast. And, next time we'll have hopefully a little bit more fun. I got a guest in here, so as you just heard. So we'll have some fun. We'll be somewhere and look for us coming around. And we got another podcast that's coming too. That I'll be guesting on with our friend Jeff Janovitz. It's a blues show. It's already in production now. Looking forward to being a part of that, and you can too. And so there you have it. That's it. I'm Rick Cheddar from Radioland.